Our Old Testament text today is, as Nicole mentioned, from Isaiah chapter 6. You're reading verses 1 through 8. You'll find this on page 635 in the Old Testament sections of your pew Bible. I will be reading this in the King James Version. So if it's a little different from the NRSV, you'll know why. In the year that King Uzziah died, this is Isaiah speaking, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. Above it stood the seraphims. Each one had six wings. With twain he covered his face, with twain he covered his feet, with twain he did fly. And one cried unto another and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. And the posts of the door moved at the voice of him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke. Then I said, Woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Then flew one of the seraphims unto me, having a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with the tongs from off the altar. And he laid it upon my mouth and said, Lo, this hath touched thy lips, and thine iniquity is taken away, and thy sin purged. Also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, Whom shall I send, and who will go for us? Then said I, Here am I, here am I, send me. This is the word of the Lord. Once again, it's my privilege to introduce to you Reverend Dr. Garth Thompson. Garth has the distinction, I think, in San Juan Metro for being the longest enduring pastor of any Union Church. 14 years, Garth? 14 years of faithful service there. And I just get a sense that Garth is a major organizer and able to motivate people and grow churches. After here, he went to Miami and served there very faithfully and had an incredibly successful ministry. And then he retired. But you know what they say about preachers? They don't really retire. They just go out to pastor. That's a bad joke, I know. But it's true. He thought he retired, but they needed an interim pastor up in Fort Lauderdale. And he filled the pulpit there and then grew that church, even as an interim. So God has blessed him to do that. And he certainly was instrumental in catapulting our church into ministry back in the day when we were just a nascent congregation, vulnerable and trying to grow. So, George and Joan, we thank you for searching out and finding Garth after all these years, that he could come and bless us on this historic weekend of our 50th anniversary, the month in which we incorporated as a congregation. So, Garth, we welcome you to the pulpit of Second Union Church. Let's give him a hand.
Good morning. It's a pleasure to be here, and I say that for many reasons. One, I just turned 80. When you're 80, you're glad to be anywhere. And I'd like to say a special word of thanks to George and Joan McMurray for just wonderful hosting. We just have had a wonderful and blessed time with them. So thank you very, very much for that. And Pastor Bob and Christy, thank you for hosting us at your home, for beautiful food. It was wonderful, and fellowship, and for bringing some people there that I hadn't seen for a mere 50 years. They hadn't changed a bit, of course. Right. And thank you for letting me have the bishop's chair. I've never sat in the bishop's chair before because UCC people don't have bishops, but now they're going to have as soon as I get back there. And I'd like to apologize in advance for all the I's and me's that are in this sermon. It's just that I span so much of the history of our church and the founding church, First Union. So my time in Puerto Rico goes back to 1962, when that church was in its heyday, and I left there in 74, 62 to 74. And during that time, we had another birth, and guess who the birth was? You were the birth. Birth was a little painful when we lost 141 members in 1 week, but that soon dissipated, that feeling, and now we're just wonderfully proud and blessed knowing that you have done such a wonderful job together to become a congregation, the Second Union Church. First, I was assistant minister back at First Union and in charge of Christian education and youth. And shortly after my arrival, I wanted to grow the youth. And also we needed a choir because we had two services, and we thought if we could have maybe a youth choir, they could do the early service. So I asked, we had about 9 kids, and they were very popular kids in the local schools, and I challenged them to invite everybody that they could to come to a weekend retreat. And the only stipulation was that everyone who came had to sing in a choir the next Sunday at the church after the retreat and sing an anthem called the Anthem of the Atomic Age. It was an awful anthem, but it sounded good to the kids. So 80 kids went, from 9 kids to 80 kids. And next Sunday, all of them made it down the aisle in back of the new, young, handsome minister. And I couldn't do anything wrong in that church for 2 years because I was known as the Pied Piper, who just got these kids from who knew where and managed to keep them. And some of them, like if I look around here, some of them are here. It's an amazing thing. So that's where I got the nickname, the Pied Piper. And I would like to mention a couple people that were very instrumental. One was Esther Plyler, and I think the Plylers, anybody here know the Plylers from way back when? She was, George, I knew you would, and Joan. Also we had a couple, the Browns, who led the youth fellowship. On Sunday night, we'd have an hour and a half of choir rehearsal and an hour and a half of youth fellowship, and nobody ever complained. It was amazing. When you ask that choir of high school kids what they would like to sing just for fun, having been in rehearsal, hard rehearsal for a period of time, they'd say, we want to sing the Hallelujah Chorus. And they sang the Hallelujah Chorus in its original version as fun. It was really tremendous. So when it was time for Second Union to begin, and things would have to change a little bit, we decided that we would give up some of those kids. My recollection is about 30 of them to go out to some place called Guaynabo City. That's it now. And I would go out there midweek and wave my arms at them and teach them how to sing an anthem for Sunday morning. And one of the kids would direct the choir on Sunday morning for their service. One of the persons who did the directing was Peggy Liggett. We called her Leggy Piggott for some reason. I'm not quite sure why. But her father was the president of Seminario Evangelico. And he told of something I remember for a long time until now, and that's been a long time, he was volunteering at a coffee house for young people. And he said the first time somebody went like this, like, get me some more coffee, he wanted to say, wait a minute, I am T.J. Liggett, president of the Seminario Evangelico de Puerto Rico. And then he would say, no, I am a servant. That's what we all are. We're God's servants. and any way we can be of service is good. And also, Dr. Ray Strong was, of course, a member of our church. And guess what? There are some strong boys wandering around here. And there's one, and there's the other. And also, I want to pay special tribute to Ramon, because when they left the concert last night, they came up here to restore order. And I said, Ramon, be sure I have a pulpit. So, Ramon, thank you for that. Okay, oh, by the way, one of the things that happened when one of the kids was the pianist, they were doing Wilhowsky's Battle Hymn of the Republic, Mine Eyes Have Seen the Glory, it's wonderful. But at the end, there's a wonderful cadenza, double octaves, really hard to play, and the youth had no trouble at all playing it until one Sunday, because we didn't have air conditioning like Second Union. We did get it eventually. And so we had the opportunity to have a lot of wind come through the church. And right when she got to that big, wonderful, long cadenza with the double octaves, her music flew off the piano. And she kept right on going. She never missed an octave, whatever. So I want to say, have faith in your youth. Maybe we could do it again. We did it before. We had a choir made up of youth. Something to think about. Ask God if that's His will, because that's important. And by the way, considering air conditioning, there was another problem, and you don't want this problem, Pastor Bob. The problem was that there were roosters who lived next door. And when you would get right in the middle of your sermon and you'd, you know, really be ready to give them what they needed to hear, you'd hear, cock-a-doodle-doo! From one of those roosters. It's very hard to keep a straight face when that's going on. So very soon afterwards, we had air conditioning. And I did have a lot to do with that, because I like air conditioning. And I heard someone yesterday give someone else credit, but I was a good boy. I didn't say anything. So then later, I became the associate minister and then the senior minister. And at my installation, we had the scripture lesson that you heard today acted out, danced out by a ballet dancer named Mirta Esteves. Some of you may know her. And she became Isaiah sitting there and seeing the Lord high and lifted up. She became the seraphim flying and taking the coals to his mouth. She became God hoping, asking, who will go for us? So as you can see, our sermon today essentially is 50 years of zany anecdotes with the focus on God's call to you and me. So now I ask you a question. What is God's call to you? What does God want you to be and do? How well are you answering that call? As a preacher, I never have the opportunity to be sitting in a pew like you sit as a parishioner and have some still small voice, that still small voice of God say, who will go for us? Will you go? However, I finished my pastorate, 37 years in one church. They tried to get rid of me a couple times, but it didn't work. I'm not kidding, am I? I mean, that does happen. And so I retired, as your pastor told you, and I sat in the pew, and then the preacher left. Finances were bad. There were dissensions in the life of the church. Who in their right mind would come and help in that situation, I said to myself. And the little voice said, who shall we send, and who will go for us? And you know that still small voice of God was speaking to me. And so although I didn't really want to do it and I didn't think anything good probably could be done, things were so seriously bad, I did say that I would allow myself to be called. They wanted me to be their designated pastor, designated to solve every problem that existed. But I didn't want to be designated. I want to be called, even as you need and want to be called. So today I'm here to say to you that you may be you may be the perfect person that God can call to do his special work. So when you see something that needs to be done, volunteer to do it. Don't be bashful. Volunteer yourself. When you see something that needs to be done, you're the person that God is calling. God calls you every day, and you are the one that God knows can be counted upon to answer in the affirmative, to say, yes, I will go for you, my loving God. So I say to you, God may not call you to Africa, but he sure could use you in Guaynabo, or Guaynabo City, if you please. So God did use you in Guaynabo. I remember the years when the church met in a school. How many remember that? Met in a school, and therefore all the hymnals had to be brought in, chairs had to be placed. There was just so much busy work to be done, and I was absolutely amazed at how faithfully everything was done. And I said, these are salt of the earth people here in Guaynabo. And they were, and they are God's people. You are God's people. You are the salt of the earth, people that are nice to be around. One thing I did when I took the impossible task, the impossible job, was to decide that I better be committed myself. So one thing I did was call the head of church growth for our denomination, say, we're going to be celebrating in about 6 months our progress, and we want you to come and celebrate our progress with us, if you will. Of course, we hadn't had any progress yet, but by the time he came, we had 80 new members to add to 67 that were there for the first Sunday. So what a difference it makes when you are called to do God's work. One wonderful thing happened when Dr. Bennett Guest did come for our 60th anniversary. He went to all four things that we had that weekend. I thought that was very nice of him to do. And he coined the perfect description of my people. He looked out at them from the pulpit and he said, you are an irresistible congregation. Irresistible. So I would like to say, I'd like to dub you here and now, because of what I've seen since I've been here, what I've known for over 50 years of what is happening here, I want to dub you the irresistible congregation. Do you accept your new nomenclature? Just go home today, say, the preacher said we are irresistible, and you better believe it. My irresistible congregation doesn't know it, but the sermon policy that I used for 37 years in Miami Beach came from somebody by the name of Chuck Hitt. Anybody here know Chuck Hitt? Know of him? And the reason I mentioned this is he was saying that everybody liked Dr. Penny, the preacher that was there before Don Johnson and myself. And I said, why did they like him so much? He said, because he gave illustrations. He was always giving stories and telling stories that told the truth of what he was speaking about. So I decided that I would be a preacher with illustrations. So now I say to the congregation, let me illustrate, as is my custom. So one day I said, let me illustrate. And they said, as is my custom. So keep that in mind, because later I may ask you to do that without telling you to. You'll coach them, right, Pastor Bob? Okay. And somebody by the name of George McMurray called me. I think first he wanted to know if I was dead or alive. And he said, do you remember me? Well, who wouldn't remember affable George? Beautiful, dedicated, spiritual, with a lovely, lovely wife. Who wouldn't remember the McMurrays? So he said, do you remember me? I said, yes, I remember you, and I have a bone to pick with you. He said, well, what's that? I said, well, you told me that if I kept working on my Spanish, that one day it would just all click into place. George, it never did. I remember my secretary came in. She was trying to do everything she could to help me learn Spanish. And very slowly she said, ¿Qué hora es? What time is it? What hour is it? And I had no idea what she said. And then there was the time when the policeman came in and he said, Por favor, señor, ¿dónde están los servicios sanitarios? I didn't understand much. I thought he said something about sanctuary services. I said, solamente a las 11:09, only at 9. And he looked at me like, I know you gringos are funny, but this is really strange. He said, are you sure? And I said, well, of course I'm sure. I'm the pastor of the church. With Easter just over, by the way, I read about the minister who tackled one of those Easter egg Christmas ornament people who come only on Easter and Christmas. And he said to the parishioner, you need to join the army of the Lord. And he said, I'm already in the army of the Lord. He said, well, how come I see you only on Christmas and Easter? He said, I'm in the Secret Service. We always have a good time at church. By the way, would you like to hear my favorite Easter story? Do we have time for my favorite Easter story? Man is driving along on Easter Sunday morning, and suddenly something is in front of his car, and he hits it, and he gets out, and it's a large bunny. He said, oh, ay Dios mío, I have killed the Easter bunny. No children will have any Easter eggs. What am I going to do? And a woman pulled up in her car. She looked the situation over, and she said, I think I can help. And she went to her trunk, and she pulled out something, came up, and it was a spray. And she sprayed it all over the bunny. And the bunny sat up, stood up, walked away, and then waved. Then walked some more, and then waved. So he said, I wonder, what is that? And he took the can from her and said, hair restorer. Guarantees permanent wave. Sorry. But it's important that we be flavorful people, that we have fun, and that particularly we enjoy and praise God for the people around us, because when it comes right down to it, it's people, it's God's people that are and need to be irresistible. And remember, you are the irresistible congregation. Oh, I have an illustration. Very good. As is your custom or as is my custom, whatever you want to say is fine. So let me illustrate as is my custom. Let me illustrate. Good, good. Amy from North Carolina was visiting her fiancé at home for the first time. She's really looking forward to this. Going to be alone with my intended. And she was going to meet his dog, Spike. Uh-oh. This is how it went. She said, we finished dinner and sat on a sofa to watch a movie. Spike wedged himself between us on the sofa and gave me a look. Brian stroked Spike's head. I couldn't help wishing he would put his hand over mine. And when I finally stood to go, Brian gave me a hug and Spike emitted a low growl. Wasn't a very good night. He said, boy, if we ever get married, it should sure would be hard to kick Spike out of bed. What do you think about sleeping with a dog? Did she think much of sleeping with a dog? No, she didn't. She said, I told Brian I didn't like the sound of that at all, but my words never seemed to register. So things continued until Brian had to go out of town for a week, and Spike stayed with Amy. She gave him some obedience training each day, and he responded well. And she says, and I quote her, on our last night together, we sat on the sofa watching TV. I looked down at Spike. We'd played a fast game of fetch, and he was worn out. It felt good to have his warm little body next to mine, I had to admit. And I thought of all the years that Spike and Brian had been together and all the games of fetch they'd played, the nights they'd listened to each other breathe. And suddenly, she says, a powerful emotion swept over me. Here, lying next to me, was the living image of the kind of love I'd yearned for from Brian. Open-hearted, unconditional love. Love I could rely on. I'd spent the past decade mistrusting that kind of love, so much so that maybe I'd grown unwilling to give it myself. So I picked Spike up and gave him a big hug. He sighed contentedly. Brian came home from the trip and things were great. We married a few months later. That was 5 years ago. Spike's older now. He's 12. He has bouts of pain at night, so we don't let him sleep alone. That's right. Spike sleeps in our bed. Now I want to be close to him if he needs us in the night. I thought Spike was going to pull Brian and me apart. Instead, he ended up bringing us together, loving each other, and together loving Spike. Okay, I have another story to tell you, and it's a dog story, and it has to do, once again, with Chuck Hitt. They were sitting in church in the Punta Las Marias congregation, and their dogs, which they had enclosed in their home, suddenly appeared down the aisle, came right up to them, and started barking like something was wrong. So they went home, and sure enough, burglars had broken in, and the dogs got out. And because they were alerted by their dogs, they went home and took care of the situation. Nothing was missing from the home. But the question I have for you, if your dog got out on Sunday morning, would he know where to find you? That's the question. We're talking about faithfulness, and we're talking about 50 years of faithfulness, 50 wonderful years. So your calling, large or small, temporary or permanent, is about faithfulness. Love, the giving of love, the caring for a creature or a creation. You and I are one with the universe, doing our part, answering God's call, receiving his blessing. And when we're called to be a part of a congregation, we are called to high privilege. We are called to joy, pleasure, satisfaction, as you have found it here in this wonderful church over the years. Let me illustrate. I'm getting better and you're getting better. One of my Miami Beach parishioners was an inspiration to all of us. And when she died, we made a plaque and placed it in the library. And it said this regarding her. I see reflected in her ways a steady light for darkest days. Wouldn't it be wonderful to have that said about you? Well, you are an irresistible, loving, caring congregation. One of our young persons there in that church would come back to the church on vacations from school. She was thinking about God a lot, even giving some thought to going in the ministry, but she decided it really probably wasn't true. But every time when she would come back, there would be Miss Green sitting faithfully and lovingly in her pew. She was a woman of vast education and brilliance. And so this student decided, well, if God's okay for Miss Green, God's okay for me. And now she has a reverent before her name. Miss Green's faithfulness tipped the balance, and now the reverend is before that student's name. We're here because of 50 years of faithfulness and more. Helpful, loving, caring, and hopefully an inspiration to others, as was Miss Green. We're all ministers called to make a difference in the world around us. Guess what? You have a reverend before your name. The question is, whom shall we send and who will go for us? That's a good question. And the answer is, we will, all of us, will go for you, Heavenly Father, wherever you send us. Amen. God bless you all.
It's been an interesting year for me, to say the least. And with so much going on and with a big change coming soon. This is one of my favorites, that songs, and it was given to me by a really great friend. And it's a song that reminds me that it's okay not to know what to pray for. It's okay if the words don't come, it's okay if you feel like your life is a huge, big mess, because what may seem like a huge, big mess to us is actually beautiful to God, because it's who we are, and He's at work in us all the time. So this is my prayer.
Better than I.